Today we return to the Old Testament with the story of Joshua. And one of the most poignant parts of the Old Testament, to me at least, is the fact that Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt. He leads them for many years in the wilderness as they wander, but he doesn't get to the promised land. He sees the promised land from Mount Nebo, but he's never able to set foot upon it. Moses withstands years of grumbling, complaints about the food, faithlessness, and the worship of a golden calf, but never throws in the towel, although he wants to occasionally. But by God's grace and prodding, Moses continues the work to which God has called him. Today, the day of our annual meeting, is a good day to reflect on the work that God is calling us to do. It's also a good day to focus on Joshua with its stories of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River and the destruction of the wall around Jericho. We ourselves are on the cusp of a new and important moment in the history of St. Matthew's. We're about to cross our own sort of Jordan, and we will definitely witness at least one wall coming down, and I hope it's only one wall. What jumps out at me most in this 24-chapter-long book are two things. The first is God's exhortation to Joshua, son of Nun, not one, but three times, to be strong and courageous before he leads his people across the Jordan River and into the promised land. The second is Joshua's words to his fellow Israelites at the end of his life. He summons all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Try to say that three times, Shechem. You've got to go deep in your throat, Shechem. To renew their covenant with the God who originally chose them. After crossing the Jordan, many Israelites adopted the gods and the practices of the people that they settled alongside. Many of them not only prayed to Yahweh, but began to pray to or offer sacrifices to Baal, the Canaanite fertility god. As the who's who list of esteemed Israelites gathers around him, Joshua says, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As the next historian of St. Matthew's looks back on seminal moments and decisions in the life of our faith community, the period we are entering is sure to stand out. 20 years after the 1997 edition, an edition which added a library to youth rooms, a parish hall art gallery, and church offices near the Chelmsford entrance, the people of St. Matthew's, in a huge leap of faith, raised almost $1 million to renovate our kitchen and parish hall, replace our lift, and renovate a standalone bathroom so it will be more handicapped accessible. We are doing this because of our conviction that we are called to participate more fully in God's ministry of hospitality, welcoming each visitor as Christ. I imagine that if I asked each of you here today to share your favorite story about St. Matthew's, it would somehow involve food. You'd share stories about food, the meals you had here, the people you talked to over a good meal, the people that you got to know over lunch or dinner. We have so many gifted cooks here, and all of them have patiently wrestled with our stove, poor kitchen layout, and humble sanitizer. But I do want to mention two particular people who are at the heart of our hospitality ministry, and I hope they're in this church and not in the kitchen, but I think they're downstairs, Rosa Uy and Karen Fifley. And I want to say thank you to those two for everything they've done to bring us and everyone who travels through this church together over a meal. Your ministry, Karen and Rosa, is Eucharistic. Many of you may not know this, but during the two-year interim period after the then-rector Grant Abbott left to lead what was then called the St. Paul Area Council of Churches, the congregation, as is typical in an interim period, experienced conflict and decline. Rosa and Karen were troubled by what was taking place, as were many others, and they even visited a few other churches, but they decided to stay. They put their heads together and came up with the brilliant idea to use food as a way to bring people together. They also thought that offering meals would be a great way to attract new members. Their food was delicious and healing. And here we are today, in large part thanks to them and their hospitality ministry. Thank you, Rosa and Karen. And again, I think they're downstairs. So, there they are. Would you stand up? What is that, Rosa? Absolutely. Many other people survived the interim period and also chose to remain here and to contribute to the life of our faith community. I'm not going to name names, but I just want to say how grateful I am that you stayed. I am inspired by your spiritual and personal maturity, and I can't imagine St. Matthew's without you. I hope that this moment in our life together is a happy moment for you. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to use the new kitchen, parish hall, and lift to open up new possibilities and relationships we can't even imagine. As former senior warden Judy Johnson once observed, in the days ahead, as fewer and fewer people grow up following the way of Jesus or going to church, the parish hall and kitchen may become some of the most important spaces in our building. In them, we will have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with others in an environment that feels comfortable and more neutral. In our gospel from Luke, Jesus, like Moses, embraces the work to which God has called him. The story of Jesus' bold words and actions in the Nazareth synagogue is found in three gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Luke, this story is right up front, right after Jesus' baptism and the period of testing in the wilderness. Being right up front, Luke's reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah really becomes his inaugural sermon, his mission statement. Jesus claims that Isaiah's proclamation of good news for the poor, release to prisoners, sight to the blind, and the forgiveness of debts are and will be fulfilled in him. The people of Nazareth are stunned. These are bold, even shocking words, and they've known this man Jesus from the time he was a boy, running up and down the aisle of the synagogue, hitting the piñata. Could Jesus be the one for whom they have been waiting? Is he the long-promised Messiah, come to set his people free? When Luke wrote his gospel, he was speaking to a Christian community that did not yet have buildings, staff, an annual meeting. All they had was the Holy Spirit and one another. That's a good reminder to us to never lose sight of the fact that whatever buildings and spaces we have here, they are a gift from God to be stewarded and shared in God's name and for God's purposes. While we will most certainly be awed by the new kitchen, the most important thing will not be the functional stove, kitchen design, or dishwasher, although it sure will be nice to have a dishwasher and a stove that doesn't smell like gas is leaking. But what the Spirit does through them, through us, and through the people that God brings here. Who do we share these spaces with? And how can they be used to create community, help people feel connected and valued, and care for those in need of a meal and someone to listen to them and share the good news of Jesus' liberating, healing power in word and deed? How can those who join us be seen not just as the hungry or the poor, but as people with names and stories we need to hear? How can the food we serve break down barriers as we break bread together? And how might Jesus be known in the breaking of the bread? How might St. Matthew's deepen its calling and ministry as a place of rest, healing, jubilee, and restoration? What will happen in the next 4 months? Will there be some chaos? Certainly. Interrupted routines? Sure. Displacement? Yep. Will we miss those robust coffee hours and intimate Sunday night dinners? Yes. Will we miss the coffee? Not really. Will this be a difficult time for those of us who like everything clean and orderly? Absolutely. The coming months will be an opportunity to look for God in any disruptions and to focus on the new facilities and future God is bringing forth. And I know our new senior warden, Dan Johnson, will help us with that. And perhaps the construction and limitations of the coming months will free us from some of the busyness of daily and weekly church duties and routines to step back and reflect on what God is up to in and through the people of St. Matthew's and where the Holy Spirit is calling us to go from here. Perhaps we can see the next 4 months as Sabbath, a time of prayer, reflection, and listening, during which we can slow down and grow closer to God, one another, and our neighbors. In the silence that follows, I want to invite you into the spiritual practice we've been engaging in this season after the Epiphany. So I would like you to close your eyes, and if you're visiting today, this is a practice of prayer that involves your imagination. As you close your eyes, I'd like you to picture Jesus healing people and then see him walking towards you, looking at you with deep compassion and stretching out his hands toward you. You could imagine that Jesus takes both your hands in his. Feel the warmth, the love, the sense of security, come what may. And now I'm just going to say a Celtic encircling prayer, which you could say if you try this prayer practice at home or at work. I place my hands in yours, Lord. I place my days in yours, Lord. I place my heart in yours, Lord. I place my will in yours, Lord. I place my thoughts in yours, Lord. I place my hands in yours, Lord.